At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome, everybody, in to Adam Carriker on the Ticket. I'm joined by a special guest today. You hear him all the time here on the Ticket, but anytime Jake, my man Jake, joins forces with yours truly, it is special indeed. Okay, but before I bring Jake on officially, as always, want to give a shout out to Bonzel Pool and Spa. They will take care of all your pool needs, desires, hopes, and dreams. Check them out at bonzelpool.com. All right, DP, the face that runs the place, couldn't handle the fire, the scrutiny, so he's nowhere to be found today. So Jake is going to take his place, and we're going to chat a little bit of pro wrestling. How you doing, Jake?
Oh, not too bad. I have my own pro wrestling show here on 93.7 The Take called Nuclear Heat, so I always get excited to talk a little bit of wrestling. Trying to keep up on it is tough because it never ends. That's the thing about wrestling, these feuds. You know, the perfect way to end a feud. It's always tough because there's always a next show. But I know we're talking today about some of the guys that do the best promos and best talkers of all time. They find a way to keep it going.
For sure. So, all right. So your show, where can people find it? How can they hear it? How can they gain access to this wonderful wrestling content?
TheTicketFM.com. We have it listed on there. Again, Nuclear Heat is what it's called. My buddy Augie Pena helps me out, and we talk. It's basically a weekly wrestling show. So if you keep up with Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and the premium live events, we talk about all the goings on, not just the major headlines. We like to get into the nitty gritty of some of the characters, what they're not doing well, do our own fantasy booking, and kind of try to get an idea of where they're going with the next steps in WWE. So yeah, theticketfm.com. We put it out on YouTube, in Facebook and Twitter every week as well. So just 93.7 The Ticket. It's mostly Tuesday nights, sometimes Wednesday nights. We don't have an official spot necessarily because it is wrestling and not everybody necessarily wants to hear all about it. But for those that do, that enjoy our Tuesdays here on Adam Carriker on the Ticket, I thought it'd be a perfect time to plug it.
Absolutely. And here's the deal. I love a couple of things. So there aren't too many radio stations that will publicly, unless they're a like wrestling radio station, which there aren't a whole lot of those, that will publicly talk about pro wrestling. The only one I've ever personally seen in all the places I've lived, and I've been fortunate enough to live in every time zone for over a decade. East Coast was 6 years, so just over half a decade. The only one I've ever seen was 106.7 The Fan in DC, Chad Dukes. Huge, 2 to 6 every day, huge wrestling fan. And I think he just would kind of bring wrestlers. Like, I remember he brought on Sheamus one time, and he just sit there and talk pro wrestling to the DMV, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia audience. And I've never seen that anywhere else until here on The Ticket with DP. Obviously, you're doing it as well. So I love that about The Ticket. Here's the thing. There's a couple things I love about talking about pro wrestling. Number one, you can't be wrong. I mean, it's fantasy booking. I mean, even the real life booking is fantasy booking by the booker who's actually in charge and making money. So you can't be wrong. So we can argue till the cows come home. All right. But nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. Unless it's me, then I'm sometimes right. But the other thing is it's never ending content. There is no off season. There is never ending stuff to talk about with football. And I'll be honest with you, football has become year round, nonstop. So even though there's an off season, there's really not an off season, which I actually love. I can't get me enough football. I can't get me enough sports. I can't get enough wrestling. Okay, those are the things that I'm constantly kind of in tune with, so to speak. And so I love the fact that wrestling content never stops. All right, man. So just to get on the same page real quick, we're going to, because DP, and if you want to, dude, we can do whatever we want. We're in charge of this hour, baby. All right, but I was going to continue down the list of most epic or greatest entrances of all time. But you and I never did chat about the greatest talkers of all time. That was DP and myself. So give me, and I don't know if you came prepared with a list, but just give me like 5 or 10 guys off the top of your head. When you think of the greatest like talkers, promo cutters in the history of pro wrestling? Who are 5 or 10 guys just to, that just immediately come to the top of your head?
Well, as I know some of the lists, I was listening to the show, and so, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think The Rock is certainly is got to be number one. He kind of gets away with like being able to say curse word. Like, I always kind of wonder, like, if some of the other wrestlers were to say as many curse words as The Rock gets away with, you know, how much that would help. So sometimes, you know, your gimmick or whatever it is kind of helps lean you into that. But The Rock, obviously, never shy in front of the mic. Never shy in front of a camera. And so I think he's got to be the greatest of all time. I know you guys separated wrestlers and managers, but Paul Heyman immediately comes to mind too, as just somebody, you know, a big part of wrestling, of course, too, is acting. And he's just phenomenal at doing that. So, you know, he immediately comes to mind as well. And then there's, you know, there's just the traditional, might be over the top in today's game, which I think is interesting. Because I don't, you know, LA Knight's kind of got a gimmick that's kind of like the old school Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, larger than life personalities. But he doesn't, he's not even close to on the same level of promo as those guys. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Ric Flair has got to be near the top. Hulk Hogan's got to be near the top. Yeah, CM Punk, of course, has his pipe bomb promo. I think they almost get too reliant on CM Punk. If you see it, if you're watching the Drew McIntyre storyline right now, they've done some stuff to heat that up in the Money in the Bank most recently, and I think that's been great. But I think there's sometimes they're like, well, we got 10 minutes. Let's just throw CM Punk out there. There's no way that this can go wrong. And it doesn't generally. People want to see, you know, the entrance is good, and people want to see what he has to say. But I think they become too reliant on that. I agree with you because I remember you talking about it. I think he's more like his singular promo of the pipe bomb elevated him in this talking space, maybe more so than promo after promo.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm looking at my top 10. Real quick, before I revisit my top 10 that I had, okay, when I was chatting with TP a couple of weeks ago, LA Knight. All right, he catches flack for maybe borrowing, I don't want to say ripping off, but borrowing or being a little Rock-esque, a little Austin-esque, like the hell yeah, he just dropped the hell and went to just yeah, you know, like things like that. Do you think it's fair to criticize him for that? Or do you think it's a little unfair and he's just doing his thing? Like he was clearly a fan of those guys. So that's going to rub off on you and then you're going to put your twist on it. Or do you think he's taken a little bit too much from them and that's fair to criticize or not?
Well, I think, again, it would be one thing if there was a bunch of guys trying to compete for that gimmick, but he's kind of the, you know, that's kind of what his thing is. And that's been his thing since he's been a wrestler. It's not new to his WWE. In fact, when they brought him up the main roster, they tried to put him with something else and it just didn't work.
Maximum Male Models or whatever that horrible gimmick was. My gosh.
You're right.
That was awful. That
worked with just about anybody. There's some gimmicks in wrestling. That's part of the fun too. And following it where you just see, you know, what they're handed and you're like, how are they supposed to get over with this? And that was kind of the situation there with him. But no, I do. I think it's, I like what he does. I like the fact that you kind of have that. And I like that it's kind of a throwback to a different era of wrestling. So I like it. The crowd gets behind it. You know, is it something that he's going to have to change in time? Maybe, but, you know, I think he does a good job, but it is kind of a ripoff of past characters.
So you go back to his TNA days when he was Eli Drake. He was doing the same stuff. Like, this isn't new. He finally was just allowed to be himself after they got rid of that horrible Zoolander ripoff inferior version of Maximum. Is it Maximum Male Models? I have the name right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, are we serious with this? Like, is this okay, we're doing this. I guess we're doing this. I don't know why, but we are. And then they got rid of it, and he's allowed to kind of be more or less himself. To be honest with you, I really like it. I actually dig it. They're clearly not going to give him the strap if they were going to do it. He's still popular. Don't get me wrong. He still gets the big, insane reaction. But I don't think, like, he reached his height. I don't think he's going to go higher. So if they didn't give him the belt at his particular height, they're not going to give it to him now. But it'd be nice to see him get a U.S. title, a tag team title. I'd prefer a singles title. I like him on his own, or an intercontinental title. It's just something. Like, reward the guy somehow, in my opinion. All right, so my top 10, I'll go 10 on down to 1. And I did put CM Punk in here, okay, at number 10. They had Mick Foley. Then I had Mr. McMahon. Then I had Mr. McMahon, to That's be clear. Right, yeah. Okay, Paul Heyman, all right? And I do. I want to see Paul Heyman and The Rock go at it on the mic. I just do. I'm dying to see that. All right, Dusty Rhodes, John Cena. And again, I still think he was a victim of the times. I still think he was being a company man, doing what he was supposed to do. This guy annoyed me to no end on TV for over a decade, but I've never seen him lose a battle of words. I think he was doing the job he was supposed to do, and I've seen him literally turn an entire crowd on its head, from booing him out the building to all of a sudden they were cheering him time and time again. Stone Cold, he obviously had probably the other most famous single promo of all time with Austin 316 at 96 King of the Ring. But I always thought it was pretty cool how he was kind of able to hold the audience, the arena, the fans in attendance in the palm of his hand. Like he'd be saying something and they'd be like, what? And then he'd say something and what? And what? And they'd find this rhythm. And he was like, he was cutting the promo with the fans. I always liked that. Then you got Rowdy Piper, which I misspelled. How do you misspell Rowdy Piper? All right. Then you got Ric Flair and then The Rock. And again, I've talked about it before. He got embarrassed by John Cena. I've kind of given him grade. That's the only reason number one is debatable to me. Had he not gotten embarrassed by Cena, number one is not debatable. But that makes it debatable. But I still have him there because of his versatility. Heel, face, good guy, bad guy. I've literally seen him in the middle of the ring and ask the crowd, do you want to boo The Rock? And in that same promo, turn heel. All right, you want to boo The Rock? And then he starts cutting a promo on them. Turns from good guy to bad guy in the middle of a promo, asking them what they want and then giving it to them. Okay, he can do it in song. He can do it with these long soliloquies. He's got the catchphrase. The thing that put it over the top for me is the final boss. Like his promos as the final boss and all of that. I mean, that's where I was like, man, he's somewhere in the top three, probably one or two. Final boss puts him back up to number one for me. Would you change any of those around? And then we can chat a little bit more about entrances if you're so inclined.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. That's a good list, and definitely has some of the names that should be on there that, you know, I know DP would definitely say that are a little bit before my time, that, you know, definitely drew people to TV screens. But I mean, that's kind of what I think about with The Rock too, is you're right. It's just the face and the heel, and the Cena thing, you know, what kind of holds him back to a degree too is so good as a promo. But the reason why people turn on him is because he had that Super Cena run. And, you know, it kind of happened to Roman Reigns, too, where if it's so forced and it's just, you know, the good guy that never loses, as opposed to the bad guy that never loses, like Triple H kind of did that as well.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think that is why I, along with you, kind of got frustrated with Cena's run. But there's no doubt he's so comfortable in the ring. And I think that can only be, you know, with a mic in his hand, I think that can only be outdone by The Rock, who I mentioned earlier. I think WWE just kind of puts a mic in CM Punk's hand and says, we can take 20 minutes on that. It's must-watch television when The Rock, especially with who he is outside of wrestling, gets into a wrestling ring and does one of these promos. Through this final boss run, you have to remember, like from the outside in wrestling perspective, there were people that would say, and I don't want to get too political here, the presidential debate has definitely been a hot topic. There were people that would say, you know, maybe The Rock should run sometime. And then he gets in the ring and says the most dastardly things that you just go, well, no, I don't think that's really in his plans right now, because he's definitely in his wrestling, you know, final boss mode.
Could you imagine, just imagine this, okay? Like, The Rock runs for president one day, and he's in the presidential debate. Do you know how much ammunition his opponent would have? How many hours of just bad guy heel promos he could just use against him? Never ending. And what was it, the Phoenix crowd? Like the top crackhead state in America or something? Yeah. Like, what was that? Yeah. I can't remember.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Like, that alone would just, like, undermine everything. It'd be phenomenal must-watch TV, though. That's sure. Just the debate itself.
He'd lose. I think he'd win the debate.
He'd probably win. Oh, he's not going to lose the debate. No.
Yeah.
At least he could maybe put together a coherent sentence. All right. So let's move on to entrances. All right. So let's recap and give me your thoughts on last week. We did 20 through 10. Okay. And I'm going through this list that WWE put out. So you got the WWE bias in here. We haven't gotten to the top 10 yet, but give me your thoughts. I'll go 20 through. Hold on, let me turn off my alarm because I'm in the middle of a show and I left my alarm on. Sorry about that. Let's go 20 through 15 and you give me your thoughts.
Okay.
So the Brood, fire coming up through the floor. Okay, what are your thoughts on the Brood's entrance back in the day?
I like that being a part of that. Again, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was really cool at the time. And of course, they kind of had their run with Undertaker as well in his stable. But you know, the vampires that wasn't really cool until like 10 years later when all in the movies and stuff where it came out. But even at that time, I mean, it's just cool. The characters that you can do and the way that they presented them. I'd agree. The Brood would be on my top just visually, you know, live seeing a group of vampires come out of the back. How much cooler can it get than that?
Now, DP's thing with the Brood was the fact that Edge and Christian, he believes their individual entrances were actually greater than this group put together. And so in his mind, that underscored the Brood just a little bit and their entrance as a whole. And now, admittedly, and I came out and said this, and I'm going to stand on this hill. I'm not willing to die on it because I don't feel that strongly about it, but I will live alone on this island. I don't like Edge's entrance. It has all the makings of a great entrance. It was never for me. I didn't like the song. I realized that there's like 8 billion people on planet Earth, and I'm the one person who doesn't like it. And like I said, I'll stand on this hill, but I won't die on it. But it is how I feel. But what are your thoughts on Edge's entrance specifically, and how wrong you probably think I am? And then Edge and Christian individually kind of shadowing the Brood just a little bit in that entrance. Or do you agree with that thought?
I mean, I can agree with it. Again, you know, there's only so much you can do with entrances. And again, I think the visual of having, you know, guys that look like vampires walk out of the back kind of puts it in a little bit different. Like Edge's song, I mean, I'll disagree with you just like everybody else. I love the song. And it, you know, really makes the entrance.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the entrance goes, he just runs around and gets hyped up. So it's not really, as far as like what he's doing, all that unique. Whereas again, you know, guys with vampire teeth is. So it just kind of depends on what you like. I would think of Edge just because of that theme song, you know, to be on this list. And I don't know if he is, but you know, I could have that argument. Between the Brood and the Edge, I would, you know, I you can't go wrong. I love both their entrances.
All right, at number 19 here is Rey Mysterio. Now, I don't particularly, again, a song is a big part of the entrance to me. And at some point, I just want to break down entrance songs on their own individual list. This is the perfect entrance for Rey Mysterio. Coming up out of the ground, flying through the area, through the air, 619, booyaka, booyaka, all that stuff. Perfect for him. I like the entrance. I like everything. The song annoyed the crap out of me. But I do think it is the perfect entrance for Rey Mysterio, and I do think it belongs somewhere on this top 20 list.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio is one of my favorite of all time, if not for just his longevity, of course. And now what they've got with Dominic Mysterio going on is a lot of fun, too. And it might spice up when they get to Netflix. But in any case, I'm so impressed that Rey Mysterio is still not just doing matches, but the quality of matches that he's able to put on. You know, in his entrance, they kind of stopped from the pop-up thing. I thought that was always something great. I don't know why. I don't know if they're, you know, traveling issues or what the deal is there. But I agree with you. That was perfect for Rey Mysterio and really kind of separated him from other entrances. I love that it's included.
All right. Talk to me about the number 18 on this particular WWE list for greatest all-time pro wrestling entrances. Number 18 is the Hardy Boys, Jeff and Matt Hardy. All right, what are your thoughts on their entrance?
Kind of similar to the Brood. I think I like Jeff Hardy's better than the Hardy Boys. So, you know, a little bit overshadowed there. But there is something special about them, especially tag team wrestling, what they did with Edge and Christian. and the Dudley Boys, who I hope is on this list too, because I love those, you know, the fireworks that shoot off for the Dudley Boys. I would put them ahead of the Hardy Boys, there's still like goosebumps, especially when they make their returns.
Yeah, I do not believe that the Dudleys are on this list. I looked ahead and I do not see them. So this is actually, and I'm going to sound a little bit like DP here in the aspect of, I like Jeff Hardy's entrance by himself better than Matt Hardy's entrance and the Hardy Boys entrance, which is a good entrance, to be clear. It is a good entrance. I just like Jeff Hardy's better. So to me, that does overshadow the combined entrance of the two brothers together. And I still feel cheated to this day that we didn't get more broken Matt Hardy. Thanks a lot for ruining that TNA. Delete, delete, delete. He tried to do as much as he could for as long as he could, but the whole legal crap got in the way of that. So we were cheated of that. All right, Bayley at number 17, if you remember what I said last week, and this was her, you know, original entrance with the things coming out of the ground and the hugging. And this is honestly one of my least favorite entrances of all time. What are your thoughts?
I'd agree with you there. It did absolutely nothing for me. I think it is important, and I think DP said this last week, is that you have to also keep in mind, not everything in wrestling is for you. Not everything is aimed toward you. So, if you're a male and, you're looking forward to The Rock or certain different things, it's, you know, Bayley definitely, you know, was good for the kids. And you know, who doesn't like those inflatable guys that you see on the sidewalk? But that with the side ponytail, I just never was into the character. And it's interesting. I think her best work was with Sasha Banks during the COVID era when there was no crowd there. She kind of carried it there. And now I think even as a champion, she's kind of lost. So Bayley's just kind of interesting. I don't know if they'll ever go back to that. And I don't, like you said, I was not into it at all. I'd rather never see it again, but, it's a unique entrance. And so you have to give her credit for that.
So I've had the opportunity to meet Bayley. She could not be any nicer or friendlier, like just incredibly nice and friendly. So this is all about the entrance, nothing about Bayley individually, but right now she's very blasé. I mean, she just is right now with her entrance. It's just very blasé to me. The inflatable thingamajigs, I don't know what they're called, thingamajig entrance with the whole hugger thing. So for me, this isn't a favorites entrance list. So I was not a fan of this at all, but here's the other reason I'm not a fan of it, because it was very niche. It wasn't for grown men. It really wasn't for grown women. It really wasn't for little like boys, young boys. It was for young little girls. It was a very niche type entrance. And for that reason, I think you really narrowed down her potential target fan base. And I didn't like that either, in my opinion anyway. So,
yeah. And I even think, you know, and we'll see if some of these others make the list, but even of the four horsewomen that kind of helped the women's revolution there, you know, with Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, you know, with their best entrances, I would say Bayley has even the worst among those. So again, unique, doing something different, but I don't think she'd crack a top 20 all-time list for me.
All right, Bobby Roode, the glorious one. All right, there's a picture of him with the NXT title belt around his waist. I think not enough people know about this. Bobby's been hurt. He hasn't been featured on TV as much, even when he was healthy. I just think not enough people know about this. I do think it was, pun intended, a glorious entrance. I think we just didn't get to see it enough.
Yeah, I when they brought him up, I thought that he was a bigger deal than he was because of the entrance, right? Like, I thought the way they were presenting him is, okay, this guy's going to get a big push. It just never did. So, like you said, injuries, whatever that got in the way. He looks the part. I was always interested. I always wanted to see him get a run, but they just never put any oomph behind the entrance.
Did you ever watch him in TNA?
I did not.
So he was the longest. I don't know if he still is. I haven't watched TNA in years. But at the time, 2011, 12, 13, whatever it was, he was the longest reigning TNA champion of all time. It was over a year. And I remember it was Austin Aries who finally beat him to end his title run. But he had the long curly hair then. Then he eventually cut it short. he was part of a tag team duo named Beer Money with James Storm, the cowboy James Storm, if you remember him. So he had a great run as TNA champion. So when he came over and was in WWE, I was excited to see what they were going to do with him. I thought the entrance was great. on a personal level, I did not have a great interaction with him when I met him. It was very brief. He was very cold. He's apparently not a big time American football fan. And so I think when he found out that that's what I did at the time, he did not like that. So he was cold towards me. And then I saw a tweet that he put out a couple of days later that, well, American football is predetermined too. And I was like, all right, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I didn't go through 2 days in hell in the middle of 100 degree heat for you to tell me the outcome's predetermined. Yeah. But as a pro wrestler, I'll tell you what, I did like him and I wish he would have gotten more of a chance. All right, next up. This is not the final boss because this list was prior to the final boss, but a 15 is The Rock. The Rock's an interesting one. His final boss entrance has a lot more to it, okay? The slow walk, they change the song, what they show on the screen, the lightning, everything. To me, it's the most theatrical entrance he's ever had because up until now, it's always been about if you can smell what The Rock is cooking and then he comes out. And it's about his charisma and his aura and the way he carries himself. Now it's with the final boss. It's about all that plus all the theatrics and the great music that they've given him. I'll be honest with you. I got my top 15. I couldn't narrow it down to 10. I got my top 15 plus three honorable mentions list of greatest entrances of all time. And The Rock's original entrance, which is this one we're going to talk about here, is on there. But if we were to specifically do the final boss, it would probably be one or two for me. I know who my one is. I'd have to go back and forth between my one and the final boss entrance. But this was The Rock's normal, typical entrance prior to final boss, which he had several inundations of, but they have it at 15. What are your thoughts on it at 15?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think the drop of Can You Smell What The Rock Is Cooking is basically, I mean, that's the high point. Is just the everybody's like, oh my gosh, The Rock is here. And so, nothing necessarily spectacular about the entrance or unique about it. Again, he's got charisma, but it's just kind of his larger than life, The Rock is here type of idea. So, yeah, I don't necessarily, when I think of The Rock in you know, I think theme music and I think, you know, Can You Smell What The Rock Is Cooking? But I don't think of it as necessarily like a great entrance necessarily. I do like the final boss one, too. They presented him very well in that and to, you know, just to have that nickname attached to you and made a lot of sense. So, yeah, I mean, I think it belongs in the conversation, certainly above some of the ones that we've talked about so far. But again, nothing too unique about it.
So I'll just give a little bit away. I do have The Rock's original entrance at 13 in my top 15. And Stone Cold, I'll tell you right now, he's in my top five. And a lot of it is about the crowd reaction. It's about the instantaneous pop. It's about the performer himself as much as it is the entrance. You look at The Undertaker's entrance, it's about The Undertaker, but it's about the aura and everything else around it too. You look at Sting. And for me, Sting coming out of the rafters, and the helicopter that one time down in Florida is what put it over the freaking top for me. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, there's more that goes into it. Just Sting walking out the entrance ramp, nothing crazy about it. Unless he was blonde Sting and then he was doing the whole crow Sting or whatever whatever he did. I can't imitate it. I'm terrible at imitations, but you know what I'm saying. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back, chat some more entrances. And we're going to argue, debate, and then ultimately agree probably because Jake's Intelligente and I'm not, but we're going to have fun, talk a little bit more pro wrestling after the break.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.